live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to this broadcast we put together over the last 3 weeks dealing with the situation in the Middle East. We'll be dealing with some domestic topics coming up ahead in the future broadcast, but we put these three specials together for you because with all of the information coming out on what's going on in the region right now, whether it's Egypt or Libya, Syria, Jordan, a number of other countries involved now, we thought getting you this information and who's really behind this move for democracy and is it really a move for democracy at all? We had a chance to put together a very special DVD called The Export. This is our full-length feature film documentary that we put together dealing with radical Islam, its roadmap basically to try to end democracy as we know it. You see these marches going on in the streets, but everybody's starting to ask themselves, who's really behind it? Is it students? Is it young people wanting democracy? Or is, in fact, the young people just the front for groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran? We've gotten in-depth knowledge on that. Shaul Mufaz is an expert in the area. We have him as part of this very special DVD we put together, but let me have you take a listen to this portion of the broadcast where I interviewed Shaul Mufaz on some of these issues. He's an expert in national security, certainly an expert in Iran as well. Take a listen.
When we talk about the issue of Iran and we talk about what they're doing, what is the goal to what they're engaging in? I mean, if they were to get a nuclear weapon, what are they trying to spread?
Well, they wanted to become superpower in the world. They want to spread the Shiite ideological belief, and they want to see more and more Shiite countries in our region. I believe that part of the terror attacks in our region, including the involvement of the Hezbollah and the Hamas, come from the support and the Iranian fuel, which is the support and the money from Iran. And the world, I mean, the leaders in the world should do their best, led by the U.S., President Obama, to stop the Iranian. I believe that this year, the year of 2010, this is the year for sanctions, but the Western countries should prepare themselves for all options.
When you say all options, if the sanctions do not result in significant change within that regime in Iran, what are the options?
Well, let's say that the military option is the last option from my perspective, and we have to do our best to stop the Iranian nuclear program by other pressure.
Is it an option that has to be kept on the table, though?
Well, it is at the hand of the U.S. I believe that President Obama will not let Iranian to be with a nuclear power in his term because it is a danger to the Western countries, to the European countries, and U.S. as well.
Why does it impact the United States directly?
Well, the U.S. is a superpower in the world. I believe that they should watch very carefully what is happening in this world, mainly countries that are in the stream of pushing forward terrorism, global terrorism, terrorism in our region. And I believe that having the U.S. as a superpower, as a democratic country, looking and seeking for peace, this is one of the goals of the U.S. to prevent Iran to have a nuclear power.
Again, these are portions of that film. These portions didn't make it into the movie, so you can imagine how great this movie actually is. So it's called The Export. Again, call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. I'm going to send you The Export, the full-length feature film DVD. We're going to send you the booklet on Sharia law, and we want you to sign that proclamation of solidarity with Israel. And talking about Israel, when we come back from the break, that's where we're going next.
Growing turmoil in the Middle East means one thing, grave danger for Israel. Still reeling from a deadly bombing in Jerusalem, Israel is bracing for more terrorist attacks. And as radical Islam continues to expand, all eyes are on Libya and other Muslim countries, including the next likely flashpoint, Syria, where there are reports that Hezbollah and Iran have joined the Syrian government in killing protesters. With Israel in the crosshairs, the American Center for Law and Justice is calling on the White House and the United Nations to stand with Israel during this volatile time. With radical Islam on the march in the Middle East and here in the United States, it's time to send a powerful message of support. Israel is our friend. Israel is our ally. Sign on now to our petition of solidarity with Israel. If you add your name today, we'll send you two vital resources. Free, our gift to you. Our new film, The Export, a powerful DVD examining the crisis in the Middle East, and we'll also send you our new book about the threat of Sharia law. Add your name now, 1-877-989-2255, online, ACLJ.com. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Shaul Mufaz is an expert in the area. We have him as part of this very special DVD we put together, but let me have you take a listen to this portion of the broadcast where I interviewed Shaul Mufaz on some of these issues. He's an expert in national security, certainly an expert in Iran as well. Take a listen.
Do you suspect, and this is a bit of conjecture here, if Iran had the nuclear capability, would they utilize it?
Well, Iran having a nuclear capability, it will be a different world. It will be a different world, and we have to understand it. Under the umbrella of a nuclear power, they will deepen all their terror activity, global and in our region, assuming that they want to spread the Shiite ideological and fundamentalist belief to other countries.
We're going to continue exploring the subject of the Middle East. We're going to talk about what it means to be a Christian coming out of Islam in the next segment of the broadcast. But I want to encourage you, if you're enjoying this very special series we've put together, these are excerpts. Basically, these were portions of our film that didn't make it to the actual film. But the information is so critical and so credible that we wanted to get it to you. But if you want to get that full-length feature film called The Export, as well as that booklet that goes with it on Sharia law, I want to encourage you to call us on our toll-free number. I'm going to send it to you as our gift. I also want you to sign on to a proclamation of solidarity with Israel. With all of the pressure being put on Israel, we need to show the Israeli government and the Israeli people that we're in fact standing with them. So here's the number to sign on to that proclamation. I'm going to send you the DVD. The Export is our gift to you. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Now, of course, frequently updated information at aclj.org. And by the way, when you get that booklet as well on Sharia law, there's a chart inside that shows you what the Constitution and the laws of the United States say as compared to what Sharia law says. So all these imams telling you that the two are compatible with each other, in a very straightforward chart, we show you how they're not compatible at all. That's in the booklet on Sharia law. So we're going to send you the DVD documentary, The Export. We're going to send you the booklet on Sharia law, and we want you to sign on to that proclamation of solidarity. Here's the number, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or ACLJ.org. And when you hear about the issues of Sharia law, we thought it'd be good to talk to someone that lived under Sharia law. She lived in a, grew up in a Muslim home. She's now a Christian. And what does all of that mean when you become a Christian but leaving Islam? Nani Darwish is an expert in the area. She's lectured around the world. I had a chance to sit down and talk with her in New York. Take a listen.
My background, I was born and raised as a Muslim in Cairo, Egypt. And I grew up in the Gaza Strip in the 50s. Egypt controlled Gaza at that time. And my father headed the Egyptian military intelligence. In Gaza, his mission from the president of Egypt was to destroy Israel. They went into Israel and caused as much damage, destruction, and death, even to civilians, and came back. So I really grew up in the heart of the Arab-Israeli conflict.
In Gaza in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah. Yes, in the 50s only, as a child. And my father, his life was of course threatened by Israel. He had several assassination attempts on him. And finally my father was killed by Israel. So I knew what jihad does to families and how it hurts them. And of course, Gamal Abdel Nasser, the president of Egypt.
President Nasser, right.
He came to our home to pay condolences because my father was one of his top people. And I remember my mom made us stand in line to greet him with my siblings. And they told us one of, either him or one of his entourage, they told us, which one of you kids will avenge your father's blood by killing Jews? And I remember that question until today because it made me feel very uncomfortable. Mm. It made me feel if I really loved my father, then I must kill Jews.
Did you know what jihad meant at that point? The reality, because you were living it.
Yes.
You knew what it meant.
Not exactly. I knew that it was something very honorable, and it's the ideal thing that a Muslim should do. But I didn't understand the depth of it exactly. And people congratulated us. Oh, your father now is in heaven. It's the only way to go to heaven. So I didn't, inside me, I was very repulsed. I just wanted my dad as a child, you know. And that was how I grew up. And then after my father was killed, we moved back to Cairo. And I lived under Islamic Sharia law until age 29.
Let's talk about that. Because there is a move right now. We've got the situation, this mosque at Ground Zero, proposed mosque, where the Imam Rauf says that the United States Constitution is 90% compliant with Sharia law and that there's not that much difference. Now, you grew up under Sharia law.
Yes.
What was that like?
I'll give you a couple of examples. A Muslim head of state can come to power through seizure of power. Mm-hmm. A Muslim head of state must be obeyed even if he's unjust. A wife can be beaten by her husband, and the husband doesn't even have to tell the police why.
All justified under Sharia law.
Oh yes, these are laws protecting the rights of men and oppressing women. A husband, if his wife is disobedient, can beat her, and he doesn't have to support her financially except for the basic necessities. A man have up to 4 wives. A woman cannot do the procedure of divorce. She can only ask him for it, even if he has 3 more wives.
If someone leaves Islam under Sharia law,
just leaving the religion, you will be forgiven if you kill them. And that's why a former Muslim or somebody who doesn't want to practice Islam anymore, they're not just scared of the Islamic government or the Ummah or the state, the Islamic state. We are scared of anybody on the street, your neighbor, your own mother and father, your cousins. And that is the Islam is the only religion on earth that condemns those who leave it to death.
How significant of a threat is the application of Sharia concepts and Sharia law to the United States?
The main point really about Sharia is that it's not a religious right. See, Muslims in the United States are trying to present it as, we just want to practice our religion, give us the right to practice our laws. It's just, but it cannot be a religious right because it actually impacts others. I can do all the laws to control myself if it's a religion. I can only, a religion, you can only control yourself. But if a religion gives you the right to kill another person because he, there's a law that allows actually a man to kill his wife if he catches her in the act of, you know, cheating with another man. So the minute a religion allows you to suppress the human rights of others or to kill others because they left the religion, that is not religion. That has crossed the line of human rights. It becomes tyranny. It becomes human rights violation. When you discriminate against women to the extent of killing them to protect your honor, then it has crossed the line of religious rights.
Well, coming up, when we come back from the break, you're going to be introduced to someone that also knows firsthand what it's like to come out of an Islamic background. He was a sniper for Yasser Arafat before he met Jesus Christ as a savior. So this is a dramatic testimony you're going to hear coming up next. But folks, all of this is part of a very important full-length feature film we put together called The Export. And I want everybody that's listening to me to have a copy of it. Because of the generosity of over 8,000 of our ACLJ members, we can make this offer to you as our gift to you, really from them as well, so that you're educated and informed on the issue. It's called The Export. I'm going to send you that booklet on Sharia law as well, and I want you to sign on to that proclamation of solidarity with Israel. The number is 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with more from Israel in just a moment.
Growing turmoil in the Middle East means one thing, grave danger for Israel. Still reeling from a deadly bombing in Jerusalem, Israel is bracing for more terrorist attacks. And as radical Islam continues to expand, all eyes are on Libya and other Muslim countries, including the next likely flashpoint, Syria, where there are reports that Hezbollah and Iran have joined the Syrian government in killing protesters. With Israel in the crosshairs, the American Center for Law and Justice is calling on the White House and the United Nations to stand with Israel during this volatile time. With radical Islam on the march in the Middle East and here in the United States, it's time to send a powerful message of support. Israel is our friend. Israel is our ally. Sign on now to our petition of solidarity with Israel. If you add your name today, we'll send you two vital resources. Free, our gift to you. Our new film, The Export, a powerful DVD examining the crisis in the Middle East, and we'll also send you our new book about the threat of Sharia law. Add your name now, 1-877-989-2255, online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back. In just a moment, we're going to Israel. We're going to be stationed at a spot that actually overlooks the Temple Mount, where you see the Dome of the Rock, which is built over the Holy of Holies. The most holy site for the Jewish people is now covered by a mosque. And what you've learned and what you will learn from the special film we've put together is that Islam doesn't just want to be compatible with Judaism or Christianity, it wants to conquer it. And that's been their operations since their founding. It's a conquest mentality, and you're going to see that and learn about that firsthand in our film. Let's go now to Israel and take a listen to someone that came out of that movement as Yasser Arafat's sniper, and now is a Christian and doing a great work in the Middle East.
Taz, we're looking over the Temple Mount right now. We're looking over the Dome of the Rock. Let's talk about first, you come from a background that's unique in this sense for all the people we've interviewed, because you came out of Islam. You were you worked for Yasser Arafat as a sniper.
Yes.
For the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO.
Fatah.
Yeah, and Fatah. Mm-hmm. Let's first talk about who you are and where you came from in that sense. You know this area better than most, but where did you come from? How did this develop?
I was born in Gaza. My family originally come from the city of Jaffa near Tel Aviv. They left Jaffa to Gaza before the war of 48, listening to the Arab leaders who told them, get out of your homes. And our army is going to come and wipe out the Jews. And my dad, you know, listened to these rhetorics, and he went. So I was born in Gaza in 1951. Then my family immigrated to Saudi Arabia, where I grew up. I've done the Hajj 10 times in my life. And
tell
the
people
Umrah.
What the Hajj is, so they know.
Hajj is the annual pilgrimage that the Muslims are called to do at least once in their life, in their lifetime. So I was trying to secure the highest heaven there is. So I did it 10 times instead of one time. But of course that didn't bring me security. My life has been always ups and downs, and being a Palestinian and referred to as a refugee in the Arab world from our brothers and sisters, the Arabs, calling me a refugee every day of my life. You're a refugee, you're an immigrant. I had a Jordanian citizenship, and you know what it said on my passport? It's a third-class citizen.
On the passport?
On the passport.
So when people talk about liberty and democracy in the Muslim world, in the Arabic world in particular, but in the Muslim world, that doesn't exist.
Islam is not a democracy religion. It's a dictatorship religion. And as long as Islam is part of the state, is not separated from the state, it's going to be a dictatorship. They call, you know, there is democracy in Egypt, nonsense. They're trying to establish democracy in Iraq. Nonsense. It's not going to work.
Now they're talking about putting a mosque 15 stories at Ground Zero in New York at the site of the World Trade Center. And how do you react to that?
I've been following that and reacting and watching it very closely. You know, I believe that's the biggest slap in the face for Americans and Christianity, to allow something like that to happen. Even though we believe in freedom of religion, that's fine. I go along with that. But to go and put a mosque right in the place where they destroyed and killed 3,200 Americans.
Let me follow up. Is the mosque at Ground Zero for the Islamic world a symbol of conquest?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. This is how they are going after converting people. You see, Islam have an agenda, a very clear agenda, Islamizing the world.
Islamizing the world.
Absolutely. And they're going to implement Sharia law. Sharia law is the toughest laws you'll ever encounter in your life. They are able to implement that in London, in England. And they are working on that in America. And we, if we don't wake up and really take a strong stand against that, they can worship. I don't have a problem with them having their own mosques. But to go and do that, that's purposely crafted, purposely done. You know, there are so many places in Manhattan. They don't have to go to that spot, but it is, like you said.
So is this an intentional conquest on their behalf?
There is no question about it. That's one of their signs. We have conquered. We have won. And what will happen because of that, you will find so many of Americans are beginning to think, oh, Islam is really a peaceful religion. My goodness, they need to read some of the Quran at least. They need to understand that this religion have never been peaceful. This religion has never been for peace or love in your neighbors. This religion is conquer and control and oppress.
So if the Ground Zero Mosque is a symbol of conquest, why do they want to do it? What's the point? They say it's for peace.
It goes far beyond just Islamizing America for the heck of, or for the sake of Islamizing America. It goes back to Israel. They believe if it wasn't for America, Israel cannot stand against the Arab too long.
So is this all then, is this all politics?
It's not just political. Islamizing the world, right now they're playing the political game, but that's to reach their goal of Islamizing the world. Their calling is to Islamize the world. Just as we are evangelicals called to evangelize, and their calling is to Islamize the world, and the first calling and the top calling is to destroy Israel and the Jews, basically.
You had some very personal experience in dealing with Hamas in Gaza, with Seeds of Hope, your organization, your ministry. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
After I converted to Christianity, I realized I had a calling on my life. I did not convert just to become a Christian. And so I went into what is called the desert time for 12 years, just studying and preparing myself. And the first place God called me to is Gaza.
Which is where you were born.
Where I was born. I went there for the first time since I was born in 2005 to see where I was born. Just wanted to know where I was born. And there I felt the calling to return to the land and to bring hope and peace to the heart of the hopeless. The Palestinian people are really hopeless, and they are more victims of their leaders than they are victims of Israel or anybody else. And so we began to set up camp in Gaza and trying to teach on democracy, tolerance, and peace. And we established a cultural center and kindergarten and many other activities to bring that hope. That's the whole goal. And once the Palestinian in Gaza understood what democracy means, you know, they thought democracy means to wear short skirt and to uncover yourself
right.
and smoke cigarette on right. the street. Once they understood democracy, they really came at us big time. And we could not do it all by ourselves, so we hired 20 other NGO organizations that have the same vision as us to help us teach. We taught them, and they taught. And in the first year, we graduated 4,020 people out of our program.
That's going to do it for the broadcast today, folks. We want to, again, encourage you, sign on to this petition that we have right now that's up at ACLJ.org. You could do so by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you can simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
with radical Islam on the march in the Middle East and here in the United States, it's time to send a powerful message of support. Israel is our friend. Israel is our ally. Sign on now to our petition of solidarity with Israel. If you add your name today, we'll send you two vital resources. Free, our gift to you. Our new film, The Export, a powerful DVD examining the crisis in the Middle East, and we'll also send you our new book about the threat of Sharia law. Add your name now, 1-877-989-2255, online, ACLJ.